Thanks, Chair. My name is Thapelo Motshweneng. I am the Acting Chief Financial Officer of the Department.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Tshepo Mahlaela, Chief Director of Legal Services in the Department.
My name is Fani Lowe, also from Legal Services.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Alan Small, from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisors.
Chair, the two of us, myself and Mema Hlaela, I'm going to do the first part, and then she's going to do the second part. Thanks. Okay, thanks, Chair. The contents, we deal with the introduction, background, we deal with the problem statement, and the main policy proposals. We thought that it would be beneficial to just get to a point where we speak about the rationale for this bill, because when you look at the bill, which is written in legal terms, it may not necessarily bring that out. I will then stop at number 5, which is the regulatory impact assessment, and then my colleagues from legal services will then take it from there. Chair, basically, by way of introduction, the question of access to and the proper use of land and property as resources are essential to the social and economic well-being of South African society. And this is what we recognize as a department. And for government in particular, land and property are vital resources by which a wide range of socioeconomic objectives are pursued. The market mechanism is the primary means by which access to these resources is obtained. And at the heart of this market mechanism is the pricing and valuation function and the requirement for proper determination of property values. The question of valuations, there's a lot of people who would say that valuations do not necessarily mean a price, and we accept that, but we do know that by and large valuations do lead to prices, and they contribute the most to the determination of what the price is, and this bill recognizes that, hence the need to have some kind of regulation in that particular space. Over the last 18 years, the state has not been able to significantly redistribute productive assets to the benefit of the historically marginalized people. Income inequality, poverty, and unemployment have escalated, as a number of studies have shown. The Office of the Valuer General will be at the cutting edge of the redistributive outlook.
Can we humbly request that the presenter tries to summarize? Because if he reads sentence by sentence, we might as well do that for ourselves.
Sorry, Chair. Am I correct in surmising this is a 75 bill,
yes.
Not a 76 bill?
No.
Why was it tagged 75 as opposed to 76? Surely if you're talking about valuation, affects the provinces, it connects property everywhere, ground everywhere. I'm just asking.
Let's leave that to the end, Chair.
Yes, the department, can you summarize and talk straight what is it contained in the document, not read sentence by sentence? Can you do that? You know it. You have started to prepare that from January.
it's actually
so
been
you
two
can
years.
Do that freely.
Yeah. Well, yeah, true. Chair, I will try, and I hope I don't leave out anything very important. Well, by way of background, just to say that we have been to the Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform, and that the bill was passed, I don't know if that's the right terminology, by the National Assembly on the 12th of March with some amendments. When it comes to the problem statement, to tell you about the essence as to why we are having this bill, I really have to go into some level of detail to explain, Chairperson, maybe that portion as to why in the first place there was a decision to do this. There are two problems of particular salience to the land acquisition strategy for land reform to date, which are, Chair, the slow pace of land reform, as well as the escalating land prices that government pay, which are closely associated with the compensation regime based mainly on the market value. You would realize that over the years, valuations of property have really been based on market value, and they have not looked or considered other factors that we are legally allowed to consider when we look at valuation of properties, especially when we're talking about land reform. Market value is based on the willing buyer, willing seller principles established by a process of comparison of prices paid for similar properties in the market. We are saying that as part of the problem statement, government cannot be conceived as a willing buyer as envisaged in the market value definition, because a willing buyer, because government is forced by certain socio-political considerations to make decisions to buy land, as opposed to a private citizen who is truly a willing buyer based on whatever decision that they make to buy land. Gaps that in terms of the capacity of government to interpret the price dynamics of land and property markets at various scales is one of the problems that we have identified. And we have also identified gaps in the legislative and regulatory framework underpinning the valuation industry, an absence of a competent organ to lead. The four main proposals, Chairperson, that are being made is that government implements the constitutional requirement of just an equitable compensation as enshrined in the Constitution, that government makes greater use of expropriation in its land acquisition strategy. The third one is that the government established an autonomous office of the Valuer General, and that the government enhances land market information analysis and policy formulation. Basically, these are the four main things that government is trying to achieve by making this proposal that this becomes law. A regulatory impact assessment was performed or was conducted, which considered several options and recommended an autonomous office of the Valuer General. And following that, an in-principle decision was then taken to approve the establishment of a fully fledged office of the Valuer General. A business case has been compiled, and it is being consulted on with the Department of Public Service and Administration with a view of then determining or establishing the office of the Valuer General. From a policy point of view, Chairperson, that's where I end. I will ask the colleagues from Legal Services to talk to the bill itself.
Thanks, Chair and honorable members. I'm quickly going to take you through the structure of the bill. In Chapter 1, what you have would be your general provisions in any bill. I'm not going to go through what Chapter 1 is about. And Chapter 2 talks about the Office of the Valuer General, the establishment status, functions, and powers thereof. The Office of the Valuer General is set up specifically mainly for two purposes, which is to do valuation for properties identified for land reform, as well as in instances where a government department would approach the office and say, we want to value property, please do that for us. That is a, it becomes a service provider in that instance. It's only compulsory for functions of land reform where we're valuing properties. Land reform is then defined in the legislation itself as land redistribution, land restitution, tenure reform, and land development. And then the second part, or rather the second function of the Office of the Valuer General will be to develop those criteria and procedures for the valuation of property that has been identified for land reform purposes. And then the monitoring of the very same valuations and ensuring that those criteria and procedures as prescribed will have been complied with. Then continuation of chapter two, we're now talking about the specifics of the functionaries in the Office of the Valuer General. It provides for a valuer general who must be a South African citizen, a registered valuer, and have sufficient experience in or knowledge appropriate to the following: public administration, public finance, or legal and constitutional matters affecting public administration. The valuer general is going to be responsible for the performance by the Office of the Valuer General of its functions and is the chief executive officer and accounting authority. Now, through the process of the National Assembly, amendments were made, which were accepted by the department. We then have what we call a chief operating officer supporting the valuer general. The COO will be responsible for the day-to-day management of the Office of the Valuer General. And then Chapter 3 provides for the process in the valuation of property. I think what I'll go to specifically is then the subclause B there, which says that the valuation by registered valuer of property that has been identified for land reform for purposes of determining the value of the property. The definition of value has been linked to Section 25(3) of the Constitution. What we have done in defining value for purposes of land reform is that we've taken the factors that are provided for in Section 25(3) of the Constitution and said beyond market value, when you're valuing for the purposes of land reform, a valuer must look at those factors that are listed under Section 25(3) of the Constitution. And then whether it's acquisition or disposal by a department for any other purpose than those mentioned in subparagraph 1, what we're saying there is that for any other, where now a department ordinarily in its normal business approaches the Office of the Valuer General for valuation, they will then use normal factors, not those in 25(3). 25(3) are specifically provided for when they're doing valuation for land reform purposes. And then the rest of Chapter 3 provides for how valuers must conduct themselves, how reports are going to be put together, and then the imposition of valuation fees. Chapter 4 of the bill provides for financial and other matters, and then miscellaneous issues, for instance, the delegations of powers of the Office of the Valuer General and the regulations, then short title on commencement. What is important is on page 15 of the presentation, the extensive consultations that the department undertook in the development of this bill. Before it was first tabled at cabinet, during, and now. And those are the stakeholders that we have consulted with. I'm not going to read through them. And then financial implications, Chair. Initial indications are that government funding for the first 3 years of operation is estimated at 75 million for year one, 60 million for year two, and 50 million for year three. This bill was also supported by the Minister of Finance at Cabinet, and Treasury, in fact, also was called to come and present to the Portfolio Committee. So this is noted, and money will be available for the purposes of this bill. Chair, that concludes our presentation on the Property Valuation Bill.
Thank you very much. You know, you can summarize. It's very straightforward, so you can do the summary of this section 75. I'll give it to the members to ask the clarities and questions. I see Honorable Makubela, Honorable Mkoro, Honorable Worth, Honorable, and I'll start it from here, Honorable Makubela.
Chairperson, this is serious. I want to tell you. I'm just worried about the first portion of this man briefing. You are talking about the slow the slow pace, escalation of the prices, and you know, those type of, and if you can check now, 15 years now till now is where we start with this bill. Taking into consideration of the blacks which are having 20% of the land. All right, let me not go there. I don't want to politic now. But it's serious, this thing. If you don't agree with me, go and read Joshua chapter 13. You'll be shocked what you are doing, you or the department. You'll be shocked about this land. People were crying that, I'm now going to die now, and the land is still not yet back. Thank you. All right. My question is the following. This is serious, I want to tell you. And the land is still not back. Okay. Can we get the clarity of the definition of autonomy on the of the office of the of the office of the Valua General, something of the sort, or you will know it. Proper definition, the autonomy of the man thereof. And then the financial implication, most specially to the projected staff complement and the recruitment strategy. Can we get the budget thereof? And then, can department clarify the use of definition value of land in the bill? Can we have that in or clear about that thing? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. My question is, I've got a question and a recommendation. I don't know. My question is the Valuer General. When the Valuer General has looked at this piece of land and he attaches price to it, is it final? Is it an estimate that can be debated or argued upon? Or is it final? My recommendation is this, Chair, that, and this is very, very important, that if we look back into the history of land acquisition by the first landowners in this country, what comes into my mind is that we must also take into consideration that the first generation and the second generation and possibly even the third generation of landowners in South Africa did not buy it. They did not buy it. And they have all along through history been owning the land, and the land's ownership in South Africa was skewed into a particular race. And that is what makes it now today necessary that there should be an equitable land redistribution in the country. Now, one other thing that must be taken into consideration is that they have throughout history benefited from the land, and for that it must also be taken as a factor when the land is being negotiated to be valued. It must be taken into the whole process as a factor to be considered, possibly for discount, because they have all along benefited. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask the department, what are the... I'd like to ask the department, sorry Chair, what are the implications for valuing land in communal areas since the bill has not been sent or is not going to be sent to the House of Traditional Leaders? Does this bill not conflict with the Restitution of Land Rights Amendment Bill, which was tagged the Section 76 legislation? That was the bill B35B of 2013. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, mine is that also in terms of your stakeholders consultation, I see you have all the stakeholders, but excluding the strategic stakeholders, which is your traditional leaders. How are you going to deal with that? Because a large of portions of lands are owned by traditional leaders. Why didn't you consider it not important to also put them on your stakeholders list? Thank you. And also the clarity on the why is this bill tagged as a 75 and not as a 76 bill? Because I, from where I'm sitting, I think this should be a 76 bill.
Do you have anything to say, Honorable Mabe?
Chair, you know, when it comes to land issues, I always allow Mukhoro to deal with that.
To deal with all the things of the...
But Chair, you know, I'm worried. I hope this will be a vehicle to fast track the land distribution, especially to the landless. I will definitely have a problem if later on we find that this office does not have capacity, they've spent the budgets in an appropriate manner. Now we're having more delays instead of fast-tracking the problem at hand. So we just need a commitment and maybe timeframes if there are any. Because after we have deliberated on this bill, then we'll be giving them a go-ahead. So we also need a commitment from their side as to when are they going to start implementing. And how long should our people wait? Because really, the land issue, it's a burning issue. People cannot wait any longer.
Mukhoro?
Yes, Chair. I'm looking at the list of stakeholders here. They start from A to N. And in that, I don't see the land-hungry people be mentioned, of those who don't have land. Here, consultation is just those who've got money, those who've got land, those who have a voice already, you know, and all. But I don't see those who don't have land, because those are the actual people.
The traditional leaders.
That should be the main stakeholders. The main stakeholders, actually. Mm. Yeah, but it's not yet. Mm. And that would be another recommendation that I make, and with the seriousness in my mind, that actually the main stakeholders in this process would be those who don't have the land. Let them have a voice there too.
Okay.
Yes.
I think we have got a full mouth of questions that we need those questions to be responded in writing and give it to, because the members are going to have this, because we are going to put this in a house. So we need these responses in writing by tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We must have those responses in writing, and each member must have their response by, committee secretary will send it by email, by also by tomorrow, those responses. Is it fair, honorable members? That the responses must reach you by tomorrow in writing. That's it. So I don't want to respond anything now, but we want it by tomorrow morning. Is it fair, department? Are you going to do that?
No, we will do that, Chair, thanks.
If you don't do it, what must I do?
We will definitely do it, Chair.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. Okay.
But can you use that as a legal document? Especially for reference, for referencing.
I don't think so. I don't know about that.
Chair, just for interest sake as well, I want to know the legality of the white paper, because I can see in the references they made mention of the white paper. It's in page 7. So I just want to check what would be the legality of the white paper.
The status
of the white paper. Legally, will it be correct for one to write a formal document and then quote a white paper as one of your references?
Okay.
Chairperson, my understanding that the white paper is merely a policy document. It does not have the effect, force and effect of a legal act of parliament.
Lunch, Max Building. By tomorrow, we need to have those responses. Thank you. Power, we want this. We want to finish this before 2 o'clock. Where is this another lady? Committee assistant. Ford. Members, we have distributed the legacy report. Don't you remember? Honourable members, we have distributed last week the legacy report. Only today is just to adopt, because I think we have already written the report for the fourth parliament. Yeah. The department next week will call you to come back to adopt, because we don't correct, to adopt the this. But because we don't correct, we can't adopt it. Yeah. How many do we need it? 7? 8, ne? Oh, okay.
No, they're missing 2 members.
Honourable members, we propose, I don't know whether we adopt. Four. We don't have the quorum for this. We need 8 members.
Are we 16?
50 plus 1, because there are members. Honourable members, we are in trouble now. We can't adopt anything now. Even the legacy report, if we have also a plenary. We have a meeting, yes, because we have also a plenary. Other thing I want to know from the members: are we going, Honourable Daryl? When we finish this, we want to know whether, do you want this as this section 7 to debate or a statement? Because it's 75, so we must, the property violation. Can we do it by next week? No, we can't do it. Statement, but we can't do it next week. I'm sure it will be. When we're coming. Okay, all right. Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. It's a long meeting. Sorry for that. because we are trying to finalize everything, and we don't need any outstanding work, because we are not coming here again. There are some new members that are going to coming, so we wanted to finish our part of the work. So that's why we have those uncertain things. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much. We close the meeting. The lunch is still open there, those that want the lunch. There's a bill. Just explain. Ask her.
The Integrated Coastal Management Bill was referred for mediation because the MA did not accept our proposed amendments. I've already, the mediation committee has been ATC'd on the NA and NCOP side. The membership has been confirmed. The chairperson has proposed a date for Thursday for mediation, but it seems like the NA members are somewhat unavailable at the moment, so consultation will take place between the two chairs on a date. I don't know how that will impact on members, but I mean that's to be seen. But we've made a commitment from our side, from the part of the NCOP, to mediate on Thursday morning. It's now up to the National Assembly chair.
But they said chair. No for the testing. So it means that the members will be called for this meeting of the mediation.